Okay, three, two,
hit it! Oh, it's time to double down with Max and Stacey on Sputnik Radio. Coming up on the show, we talk to Miss Shedlock of MishTalk.com, but first, Thomas Hardy said, quote, "Time changes everything except something within us, which always surprised by change." Very profound. And so the markets were thrown into turmoil when American voters chose Donald Trump as president of the United States of America, the first president in U.S. history to have never served in public office or the military, and who had promised to rewrite all the neoliberal rules of trade and business. Stacey.
Yes, apparently markets were quite surprised at first. They had, of course, priced in what all the media was saying for certain that Hillary would win. Well, they shouldn't have been so surprised if they had been on the ground and seen that people still wanted change. Remember, they voted for hope and change in 2008. Barack Obama did not deliver that change, I believe. He kept with the same policies that the Bush administration had, despite the fact that everybody wanted change. Well, that was the number one reason in the exit polls of what people were voting for. They wanted a strong leader, and they wanted change. So we got the change, and markets reacted negatively at first, and then quite positively, I think, once they realized maybe change is coming.
Trump's message was pretty darn simple. I guess he figured out early on he had to win those three blue states in the north, Michigan, Utah, and one other one. I forget the name of it, but one of those flyover states.
Wisconsin, Pennsylvania.
So I think they figured out quite early that they wouldn't win unless they had those three or four of those states, the swing states. And his message from the beginning was jobs. He's going to create jobs. How's he going to do it? He's going to renegotiate trade deals. And when Hillary talked about trade, she did so in esoteric terms, and she did so in very broad strokes and very inside the beltway Washington speak, and didn't really talk to guys who wanted jobs.
Well, she talked about it through a forked tongue, didn't she? Because she, through one side of the mouth, she said she was against TPP. And in the Podesta emails, we found out that she, in fact, was all for it. And she was just saying something for the public consumption. But I want to go over this headline I have and the details in which we're going to need to turn to our guests. But the headline is, this is what happened to the quote-unquote Trump crash. Because remember, everybody warned the world that the markets would crash if Trump won. Well, in fact, there were quite spectacular jumps in some shares. For example, I want to say, you know, one of the biggest risers of the day was Corrections Corp of America, not the best company in the world, but it runs a lot of private prisons, and they soared by 43%. So there were some astounding numbers when Trump won. But I want to turn to Miss Shedlock over in Chicago at MishTalk.com, because he was a Trump voter, but also he's an investment advisor and knows what's going on here with these sort of numbers.
It's Double Down with Max and Stacey.
Oh, yeah, it's a new show on Sputnik Radio.
Mish, welcome to the show. You voted for Trump. What did you think of his win?
So first off, it's a pleasure to be on, Stacey. Max, hi to you. Hope to meet in person again soon in Chicago over more pizza. I'll let you pick the place next time. What happened here is social mood boiled over. It finally happened. People are fed up with inflation, their money buying less and less. They're fed up with perpetual war. They're fed up with policies that benefit the wealthy at the expense of everyone else. The masses, they don't really understand that the Fed's at the center of all of that, but they do understand they're angry and their money is voting less and less, and they understand, you know, that jobs have been lost. You know, Hillary was the Wall Street greed candidate. You know, we'll see whether or not Trump offers any change there. Some of his political appointments right now seem like maybe there's not a change in that regard. But the media played this up as this was some big sexist vote against Hillary. That's not what it was about at all. It was about social mood. Donald Trump tapped into that social mood. I just went back, Stacey, to a post I wrote back in April or May, and I got nearly every state right. And I went back recently, and I was actually pretty certain that Trump was going to lose. I got so fed up with Trump as a result of the first debate, which was he clearly lost and he clearly didn't prepare for, and I thought that was it. And, you know, it's never over till it's over. We had WikiLeaks. We had the head of the FBI come out, say the investigation in Hillary was not over, and everything changed. The futures were down about 1,000 points. We're down 1,300 points on the Nikkei. Guess what? All taken back and more in less than the course of the day.
So, wow. Mish, you're saying social mood played a factor here. The social mood boiled over. And, you know, but people are on the street protesting Trump the day after the election. You know, there's a two sides to the social mood. I mean, you've got the so-called social justice warriors that are upset that Hillary did not win the White House. But then there are the uncounted voters out there, the shy Trump supporters who are enraged over the years that they have not been represented by this huge bailout that happened in 2008. I mean, is it fair to say that the bailouts of 2008 set the stage for the Trump win because they went to a very few folks and the vast majority in America did not participate, Mish?
I think it's fair to say that. They saw the big banks be bailed out and they saw that they weren't. People lost their houses. We had a huge scandal here recently in Wells Fargo. Some people lost their jobs, you know, over that, purposely screwing, you know, these homeowners. No one was prosecuted over this. No one lost their jobs over this. And yeah, they were upset. Along comes Trump. He points a finger at China. I think that's misguided. But Hillary promised to do the same thing. Trump energized it. He came out, said we're going to label China a currency manipulator, and here we are. Now, an amusing statement came out just right before you called, put a post out on my blog. Angela Merkel sent a half-baked congratulatory letter to Donald Trump right after he became president-elect, right after he won. And in the letter, she stressed that Trump needs to stand by common values and skin color, creed, gender, sexual orientation, all of that. Look who Merkel is in bed with. She's in bed with Erdogan, an Islamist policed state dictator who came out and said contraception is treason. Women are not equal to men. Muslims must multiply the descendants. He wants to take over Europe. She is dealing with Erdogan and sends a hypocritical letter, self-serving, to Donald Trump. Wow.
Okay, well, Mish, let's get back to the topic at hand, which is the market response to Trump. And let's talk about what his economic policies are. Let's stick with this sort of topic. And one thing that the article, this is what happened to the Trump crash, i.e. there was no crash, it turned around, is that construction suppliers boomed. Caterpillar soared 7.7% on hopes that Trump's wall along the southern border gets built pronto and without too many questions, and on hopes of that $1 trillion deficit funded infrastructure stimulus package initiated by Trump will sail through the Republican Congress. So dreaming of the big wall and the infrastructure stimulus package, investors plowed into construction suppliers. Vulcan Materials soared by 10% to close at a record high, and Martin Marietta Materials soared by 11.6%. What do you think Trump will do about this infrastructure spend that he promised in places like Michigan, in places like Ohio, in places like Wisconsin and Pennsylvania? He won all of these Rust Belt states. Is he going to do this infrastructure spend? I know you're probably against any sort of deficit spending, but what do you think is going to happen there?
I do think we are going to see that kind of spending. When push comes to shove, congressional leaders always want spending in their district. So they will make this thing big enough, wide enough, broad enough that everyone gets a piece of the action and everyone will be happy. So no matter who'd won, I thought something like this was going to happen. But Trump promised it specifically, and I think he'll deliver. As for the wall, I don't think so. I could be wrong on this, but I've said all along, I don't think we'll see that wall. It's a wall is not something that he can mandate on his own accord. It will take Congress to vote for that wall. There are a lot of senators who I think, certainly the Democratic senators, would not go along with that kind of thing. And I think even states along the border there, their own politicians are going to be more worried. So my take is no wall, but yes, infrastructure spending, you know, out the wazoo.
All right, well, let's turn to Obamacare. It's on top priority. He wants to repeal it. It looks like a boondoggle, didn't deliver, raise cost, disaster. Your thoughts, Mish?
And I might add that the biggest health insurers also gained right on a Trump win. Humana rose 3.9%, Aetna rose 4.7%, and Cigna rose 5.5%. Is he going to repeal Obamacare?
Obamacare is dead on arrival. We can count on that. And the reason we can count on that is he has control of the Senate and the House. Republicans or Democrats were projected. Boy, these polls were really wrong. We're projected to win the Senate. They didn't even come close. So we will see a repeal of Obamacare. Now, the question is, what are we going to replace it with? I don't know, but Obamacare is dead on arrival. The other thing that's dead on arrival is the Trans-Pacific Trade Partnership. People thought that Hillary was just taking a political stance after she was elected. They would, you know, really push this thing through. Not going to happen at all. Trump wouldn't sign it, that's for sure. So we're seeing here a reversal in trade. I think that's a bad thing. It's going to raise prices if Trump does what he says he does. And there's some things that he can do by mandate. He can declare or have his staff declare China is a currency manipulator. If we put these huge tariffs on there, now I don't know that we will. Maybe that was talk, political talk ahead of the campaign. But if we do that, we're going to see a tit for tat. We're going to see a collapse in global trade. The U.S. dollar has rallied, you know, because of this. So it won't be good. You know, the markets might like this initially. I don't know if they're going to like it if we get into a full global trade war. And that's what might be coming.
Speaking of war, I want to say, you know, Hillary, of course, was a very pro-war. She was a hawkish sort of person, and that's one of the things that voters rejected. But defense contractors soared on the Trump win. And in fact, we have Raytheon jumped 7.5%, Northrop Grumman up 5.4%, General Dynamics jumped 5.4%, and Lockheed Martin 6%. Why is that happening? Do they see war, or is he just going to spend on domestic military spending?
Probably more of the latter. We really don't know. I was positive that Hillary was the warmonger candidate. There's no question about that. She supported every war in history. Here we might say, okay, we're just going to start this escalation in defense spending. Again, I think that's a mistake. It appears right now the markets believe, you know, that's going to happen. We'll see. You know, does Trump really want to cut the deficit or not? Right now, the market's reacting as if he won't.
So, Mish, let's take a look at the broader market picture here, because what's not being talked about much is the fact that the bond market's been selling off, mm-hmm. and therefore interest rates are ticking higher. And and the story that's coming out, people are talking about Trumpflation. You just mentioned prices would go up in a trade war. Inflation ultimately, of course, is the enemy of the bond market. What we have not seen now for 10, 15 years are the bond vigilantes, because the central banks have been buying all these treasuries and neutered the market in many ways. Are the bond vigilantes going to come back? Are interest rates going to go higher? Is the 30-year bull market in bonds that started under Reagan about to be over?
It very well could be over. It might not be. I can look at another side. It all depends on what Trump does here and how the Fed reacts to that. Now, the curious thing here is we've seen inflation tick up a little bit recently. The last CPI was about a point and a half, which is really close to the Fed's 2% that they want. Now, but oil, and it still hasn't recovered, if you look at oil prices, essentially did nothing on any of this news. So the oil market is reacting quite a little bit different of a way. And I expect, in the near term, at least, inflation's actually going to tick lower. I think in the short term, inflation is going to come down, and we'll see how the Fed reacts to that. It's a mistake if they raise rates just because of Trump's policies on trade.
All right, got to cut it off there. And that's going to do it for this episode of Double Down with me, Max Keiser, and Stacey Herbert on Sputnik Radio. Thanks to our guest, Mish Shedlock of MishTalk.com. Until next week, bye, y'all.